From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, Star Wars fans, and welcome to the premiere of The Force Awakens with Coffee with Kenobi. We are live from the Grand Prairie 18 Cinemas in Peoria, Illinois. We are honored to be here to celebrate this amazing day in Star Wars fandom. Coffee with Kenobi is a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. My name is Dan Z, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Mr. Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. This is great to be here. This is Mike's a little off, so that's okay. So here we are, Dan, sitting in the theaters. It's live, and we are pretty excited.
You don't sound excited. Are you, like, crazy nervous?
I'm crazy nervous, excited, yeah. We're going to throw up, so.
Yeah. When we were driving here, Payne and I were driving here, and he said, how do you feel? He's trying to gauge my emotions and reactions to this whole thing. And I said, I'm excited. I think I could throw up on the windshield right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really know why that is. It's not like I made the movie, but it's just such an important part of what's going on. So we are really excited to be here broadcasting live in Peoria, Illinois. We want to talk a little bit first for people who have never heard our show. Kind of what our show is, how we got started, and why we are here. So tell me, Corey, I seem to have forgotten all the excitement. What is our show all about?
It's all about rhetoric and diving deep in discussion and using analysis to break down the Star Wars saga as far as the characters, the movies, the books, the films. I mean, everything under the sun as far as, you know, if it labels Star Wars, it's something we will be able to talk about. And it's been quite a road to get here.
It really has. We started the show shortly after Disney purchased Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And that amazing day when you texted me and told me, oh, guess what? Disney bought Lucasfilm and they're making more Star Wars movies. And it seems like so long ago, and you blink an eye, and here we are. So we knew something special was going on. We like talking about Star Wars, but how do we get started in our podcast?
Well, as far as, you know, using our geekdom, if you want to call it that.
Yes, I like that.
We were just kindred spirits as far as Star Wars and comic books and getting that, and kind of got to know each other just through mutual friends and family, and got together one day and started talking about Star Wars and decided probably should, you know, start recording this and having a good time. So kind of that kind of kicked it into gear.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing. Basically, as you said, we like to break down the saga in a more analytical way than maybe you have heard recently. We sort of apply the same ideas and through the lens that I do in the classroom and through you do as your work as a graphic designer. We know there are different ways to look at things, different layers, so let's go ahead and jump into our news section and talk a little bit more about the excitement leading up to The Force Awakens.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait. This is interesting.
You found something.
I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
Okay, so we talked a little bit already about, you know, what this show is and why, how we got here. Corey and I have known each other for a couple of years now, and we knew as we would hang out at these family gatherings and functions that we wanted to talk more about geekdom and fun, crazy comic stuff and movies and things like that. So one day we literally got together over coffee, and then we kept trying to debate, because I knew I wanted to do a podcast, and I knew that he would be the good guy to do it because we bring out some interesting dynamics in each other. And then when we started talking, it always came back to Star Wars, didn't it?
Absolutely, and I think it was under that purchase of Disney buying it, it was kind of rekindled our fandom as far as, you know, it being not in the media so much, and obviously it was a big deal, so for us to be able to talk again about new Star Wars films, the day has come, and here we are talking about it right now.
Yeah, so we're here, and we're excited. We've gotten to do a lot of great things with our show. We've been to Celebration Anaheim. We were the first podcast ever to be on the Celebration stage. which was an amazing experience. We've got to meet lots of fans really from all over the world, Australia, England, anywhere in the States, you name it, we've talked to them. It's been an amazing thing, and it's all about The Force Awakens and what the movie means for us, and really for fans worldwide. What does the movie mean to you?
I don't know. I guess I think back to just childhood and just experiences as far as, you know, watching the movies and enjoying movies, enjoying the characters, their stories, and memories that I had as far as a kid growing up and being, you know, looking for something to latch on to as far as fandom. And I want to say that, you know, for me, over the years, it's been nice to be able to integrate my own children into all of it as far as making sure that, you know, they get a good approach to it as well and they can be involved in the fandom and do it their own way.
Yeah, it's monumental for a lot of reasons. I said this earlier with Anthony Bresnikan, but when you're talking about this movie, for people who aren't necessarily Star Wars fans, or they'd think, well, okay, you're excited about the movie, that's great, but it's just a movie, right? Well, it is just a movie, but it also isn't. It's kind of a cultural capstone. It's a stepping stone to a lot of different things. You see Star Wars references everywhere. And the reason this one is so big compared to 1999's The Phantom Menace or 2005's Revenge of the Sith is that this is the sequel, the actual living, breathing sequel to Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And it's got Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher.
Yep.
And, you know, we've talked about this so many times. And now that we know, you know, an hour and a half, we're going to sit in there. We're going to see a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And we're going to see a new Star Wars movie to dissect.
That's right. And it's... As much as, you know, we talked about it, you know, 2 years ago, starting this whole podcast and being able to just come up with the idea of doing a podcast, I think that it's interesting the fact that, you know, here we are sitting, you know, an hour and a half away from seeing the film itself, to be able to just, I don't know, live it out just through day-to-day basis and talking about it every day almost. And here it is, and I don't know, it's hard to fathom as far as, yeah, the character is returning to the screen and all over again.
Yeah, and we're big. Anyone who's ever heard our show knows that we're big. We don't like spoilers. We don't like speculation. We try to stay far, far away from that kind of thing. And it's getting harder and harder to do, so we've had to go to some sort of extreme measures. Like, you actually live in a bunker now, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. It's 100 feet under the ground, and, you know, it's got some nice amenities as far as a fridge and some TVs and stuff.
It's a Hound and Carbonite fridge, right?
That's right. I had to come out today and get some sun, so the sun was peeking through the clouds. Thought I'd get some vitamin C.
It looks good on you.
Thank you.
In all honesty, what we've done, like, we're not on Facebook and Twitter right now. Corey's gone so far as to delete the apps from his phone, haven't you?
Yeah, I took them off my phone because it was just a natural habit to just pop on the app and be able to update my feed or see what's going on, and I've got too many darn Star Wars fans that are just good friends of mine and be able to, you know, post what all their stuff that's going on, and I just needed to step back a little bit for myself and jump off Twitter a little bit and take some breathing time.
Yeah, because the excitement is so much that, I mean, when you wear a Star Wars T-shirt, we talked about this on episode on our show number 48, but when you wear a Star Wars T-shirt, people instantly know that you're a Star Wars fan, and you're wearing it now, so people are going to come up and they're going to talk to you, and they're going to say, ooh, what do you think about the movie? Well, did you hear about this? I think Luke Skywalker is really a seahorse, you know, or whatever people say. And you think, okay, that's great, that's exciting, but why don't we do speculation? I mean, I'm probably a little more anti-speculation than you are.
Yeah, but I guess just because we followed it so closely now and through the podcast and stuff, it's hard to be able to dissect certain things and not dissect other things and not just think about our own wants and needs as far as, you know, this next film and what we won't want to see as a fan or what we don't want to see. You know, and to be able to see what's out there, the merchandising and the promotions, everything like that, and not jump to conclusions.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, because if you have a certain amount of expectations and speculation, eventually you're going to build a story in your head, a canvas, and if it doesn't meet that, then you're sort of torn. You know, is that what I wanted? Is that, you know, I'd rather just go in with a tabula rasa, a clean slate, and just sort of disseminate the information as it is presented to me. And not, by the way, what someone has said or maybe what someone wants. Because whatever we want or don't want, it's already been made. We don't have a lot of choice in the matter.
Yeah, we only have an hour and a half to change it, so.
Yeah. And by all accounts that we've seen, did you watch any at all of the live stream from London or California?
I didn't watch any of the Red Carpet live stream. I saw it was posted. I didn't want to know anything about it. I was afraid that maybe they might say something or do something, might give something away. It's just, I guess that's how I had to cope.
Yeah, it's for me, I watched probably 25 minutes of the Los Angeles thing, and I only watched it because I knew it would just be interviews of them saying they were excited. And that was really, really cool. What's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Looking good. Looking good. I knew I was going to see things that I was excited about seeing, and I knew I wasn't going to hear anything about the movie because it's right before the premiere, so they're not going to tell you what's in it.
Right.
But seeing like everybody interviewing these celebrities and seeing Harrison Ford out there, I mean, that gets your heart pounding like crazy. Kind of like when you see a member of the 501st walk right past you.
They're here tonight in presence as far as, costuming, and R2-D2 was walking around, and we got some, all kinds of folks walking around.
Speaking of the 501st, we got one of our favorite members here. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell us what you're excited about for The Force Awakens.
Well, I'm Mark Casey, and it's all these people. It's crazy. I love it. That's what makes it for me. I mean, I'll get to see the movie, sure, but seeing all of this and then having the guys come out in the costumes and watching everybody go gaga over it, that's just awesome.
It is amazing. And you've got your seat and you're all squared away, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're good.
Good, good, good. Well, we look forward to chatting later and seeing the armor.
Oh, no, I didn't bring mine.
Oh, you didn't bring yours?
Saturday,
okay.
Saturday.
Hey, you got to go in shifts. Because the 501st, especially in the Midwest, it's a giant organization, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We do all kinds of charity work. Matter of fact, that's mostly what we do. We do events for donations to charity. The money never goes to us. You donate it directly to the charity. A bunch of us will come out and see you, and it's generally a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you guys have always been so gracious. We first met years ago at the prom at the school where I teach.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, and the kids are still talking. I have kids who graduated who come back and say that was the best prom ever. And, of course, how could it not be? The 501st was there.
Hello, Star Wars.
Exactly. Hello. Well, have a great time tonight, Mark.
All right, I got to run. See you guys later.
All right, sounds good.
That was exciting.
Yeah, Mark Casey said hello to us, which is great. We were talking about The Force Awakens, Corey.
Yes.
So, spoiler speculation. We talked about the premiere. The Hollywood premiere was an amazing thing. Even when the talent interviews the talent,
sure,
you can see there's some excitement. I think the big thing to me is seeing Harrison Ford kind of light up like a kid at Christmas when, for a long time, he was a staunch, that was just a role, who cares, kind of a thing. And now he's all about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's done such a great job of publicizing for himself and the film itself and all his co-stars and whatnot. It's great to see that, and his enthusiasm, too, for the character, coming back to the character another time and being able to relive those moments and tell stories on set stories and whatnot, and kind of as far as making sure that he was having a good time. I think he himself was excited to do it, and from day one, I remember he was getting interviewed by, I think, a Jimmy Kimmel, or maybe it was Conan, maybe.
Yeah.
And Conan was trying to kind of pay him off to get some ideas as far as the The Force Awakens, a new film and stuff like that, and he was all smiles and jokes.
Yeah, he was. Are you like me? Like, I have at home, I have Star Wars homework. Like, I have a pile of magazines and stuff on my DVR and things I want to watch or read online that I haven't looked at yet for fear that they're going to reveal some big reveal of what's going on. What is a spoiler to you?
A spoiler to me is something that's changes the dynamic or tapestry of the story or the characters involved in the story. It's something that is a twist in a plot. You know, it's something that you don't want to know until, you know, you experience it and be able to, live through it. And then, you know, of course, tell all your friends about it and talk afterwards and whatnot. So, for me, a spoiler is something that needs to be best kept secret.
Right. There's a reason that the storytellers make the story the way they do. When there's a plot twist or something that happens to a character that affects the character, his or her arc, that is powerful and poignant, particularly through the lens of the story and the storyteller. If you know it in advance, there's anticipation there, and it takes away from the power of the emotional narrative. And to me, that's why a spoiler is not a positive thing.
Well, the other thing, too, is, I mean, in our day and age, we live in technology as far as Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. A lot of folks are, getting online and tweeting and posting about, you know, certain things, and they want to talk about it. You know, of course, and the first person who wants to have the next clickable tweet or the next comment on something, that, you know, they want to have their voice heard. So, I mean, for fans to do that and to talk about it is fine, but I think in some relative terms, you have to have respect for each other.
Yeah, and I think you hit on the head there. I think people, they want to be a part of the story, and who wouldn't? It's Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, you want to get those clicks, and, you know, if you get more clicks, that means more advertising revenue, and that means more attention. And there are a lot of, listen, there are a lot of high-quality shows out there, a lot of high-quality podcasts and blogs out there who do a great job, and there is an audience for spoilers, and, hey, God bless them. It's just not us.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because, it's like you said earlier about the film, new films, it's something that culturally impacted. So I think the news outlets are picking this up. Folks that are not necessarily picking this up as far as, you know, normally wouldn't do something like this, they're constantly looking for new items or new pieces to talk about because it's popular.
It is. It is very popular. It's so popular that it's broken all kinds of records before we've even seen the first actual show,
yeah.
Which is amazing. And so we're sitting here. We've got our seats ready for us. The popcorn is...
It's hot and fresh.
It's hot and fresh. I was going to say bubbling, but that would be more of a
that's what that'd be the Coke, maybe.
That would be, yes, the Coke or Pepsi or what have you. I want to talk real quickly about our bloggers. We have an incredible family of Coffee with Kenobi bloggers. Some of them came to us. Some of them we reached out to them. Just sort of depends. But they all have different ways of looking at the saga, make us think about Star Wars, make us think about culture in ways that we hadn't before. And we hope that is the impact that it has on people when they are reading. So that's really, really fun. A lot of celebrities here tonight.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of celebrities, I think, you know, for me, our bloggers are celebrities in a sense. And the fact that they said we give them a voice to be able to tell their story and be able to tell their fandom as far as what they see. You know, if it's a review on something or maybe it's a thought on something or maybe the ABCs of Star Wars. So there's all kinds of things out there. I think we do our best to... provide that for folks and fans visiting a website.
Yes, as we're talking, I see Tarful and some Stormtroopers and some Mandalorians, and we've got R2-D2 here by us, which
oh yeah,
I feel better.
Yeah, I feel good. We're amongst good friends here, and obviously great fans, and there's folks walking around that are distracting me.
Yes, well, that's okay. That's a good thing. So, again, be sure to check out our bloggers. Every day we try to feature a blogger. Sometimes we have guest bloggers. We've got a lot of wonderful things. We've got a number of shows, too, besides just our main Coffee with Kenobi show. We've got Rebels Reactions, which is our Rebels Review show, and that's run by Aaron Harris, who's also a blogger for us, a great guy. We've got Comics with Kenobi, hosted by Jeff McGee and Matt Moore, and they do a tremendous job breaking down the comics, which are now the canonical Star Wars, so they actually have a little bit of weight and gravity to them. Any other shows, Corey?
We have Legends Library with our good friend Randy and Luke. They break down the... kind of the novelizations of the Star Wars past and present. So folks looking to latch on to some of the old Legends line that's been dubbed most recently to be able to check those out.
Yeah, and then we do have one more show that we're not going to reveal just yet.
Because not yet.
We want our new hosts here when we reveal them. But suffice to say, it's epic.
It's epic.
And to borrow a phrase that was popular like 4 years ago. Yeah, it is going to be really exciting. I think people are going to really love it. I can't wait to hear it, and I'm honored that they are going to be having a cup of coffee with us in a more of a direct fashion. But that's probably a good tease for now.
That's good.
When it comes to Star Wars, there's been enough tweaks out there. Oh, that's just a Wookiee going by. No big deal. You know, that happens. That happens when you're excited about The Force
like
Awakens.
Talk casually. That's right.
So we've got also a lot of cool... a good friend of ours, Caleb, has helped so much with our show and the audio and setting up. And I'm wondering if I can get him to come on the microphone, because you've never been on Coffee with Kenobi.
That's true.
And would you like to answer our five questions while you're here?
Sure.
All right, attaboy. So we're gonna break format. Caleb's going to jump in for us. Caleb, what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
I'd have to go with Empire.
Empire, very good. So your favorite Star Wars character... He's looking around the room, folks. He's looking.
I think I'm going to have to go with a new favorite with BB-8.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, very good. I thought you might say that, Caleb. Who is your, what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
The scene where in their Death Star and Han Solo gets on the intercom and he's like, I'm good. How are you?
We're all fine here now. Thank you. Yeah. How are you? Okay, good choice.
So if you collect, what's your favorite collectible that you own?
He likes the cards.
I'd probably go with my Darth Vader mask that my son likes to walk around the house and breathe like Darth Vader wearing.
Yeah, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's awesome.
And last one, Caleb, what particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you? You like the idea that this is about family. There's a family in Star Wars. Look at how your family, all the hours you spent bonding over the Clone Wars and Rebels and things like that, and with your son and your wife. I mean, that's a pretty strong theme.
That's true. I guess I never thought of it that way, but...
See, I'm a teacher, Caleb. That's what I do. Thank you so much for being on, big guy.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget to click your heels on the way out. Very good. He did. Yeah. He did. All right. Now, let's go back to what we're talking about with The Force Awakens. We talked about our bloggers. Let's go ahead and look a little bit more at the collecting side of things, because there's quite a bit of merchandise to talk about.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard, each sold separately. From Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say. Hmm?
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
All right, so collector news, something I know a little bit about. We love collecting Star Wars. I think you're getting the bug a little bit more than you have before.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the excitement and the marketing for The Force Awakens. I think they're going to be econ classes. They're going to be analyzing how this movie has been marketed ever since the purchase of Lucasfilm by Disney.
Well, I want to say, too, they've done a good job of marketing it, too. I felt like everything has come out successfully as far as, bringing out the toys and the books and such, and making sure that, everything comes out of relative terms as far as fans taking in new content and such. And I think, like you said, Force Friday was really big. I think that was a big event for everybody to be able to, get online and check out stuff and get in the stores and check out new merchandise. As far as making, new figures and new reveals as far as new merchandise for Star Wars.
Right. And when you're talking about how they market things, what makes it different? Like, the Avengers movies, the Marvel movies are obviously huge, right?
Yeah.
But there's something different about how this has been done that I think is really interesting. Any thoughts on that?
I think Avengers is kind of direct. I think we had a lot of movies before that. We're leading up to that. I think the merchandising was different because they knew what they were doing as far as new stuff, where I think with Force Awakens, they're looking to reveal and capture them in the moment as far as, not revealing too much. They could talk about spoilers earlier.
Right.
They're looking to make sure that everything stays intact. They want to reveal some cool things, and, they've certainly done a good job of marketing that so that we don't know what's coming next or maybe new characters or whatnot. So through marketing and merchandising, they've done a good job of revealing certain things at certain points.
Well, and there's an old adage, too, that, slow and steady wins the race. So it's not like they just flat out thrown everything out there. It took a long time, like an inordinate amount of time for the first full trailer. Obviously, it famously was revealed at halftime of the Monday Night Football game with the Giants. But it took them a really long time. I mean, think about this. Batman versus Superman, when it was over 2 years away, we already had two teasers and a trailer. For this movie, for The Force Awakens, we didn't have the first trailer until like 2 months before the movie came out, and it worked.
Yeah.
Now, it has something that other things don't have.
Well, the other thing, too, they have a built-in fandom already, I think, too. You talk about the trailer reveal as far as, successfully putting things out and be able to... they did things... It was back like, a year ago, Thanksgiving, they did the teaser. It was a Black Friday.
That's right.
That was revealed on a, and the way they reveal it too, the way that it's cut together and the way that we see new things, they're coming at a different standpoint because they're coming off of, 30 years or so of just timeline of Star Wars and be able to market it again afresh for a new generation. Where Superman and Batman kind of, it's been around here and there throughout the years.
Right, that's true. And this has too, but it's just like you think about when they originally revealed the character names. It was a duplicate of the Topps cards from the 70s. And we know, that girl is Rey. That stormtrooper is Finn. And that's all we knew. But those were new names. And I remember when we had our shows and we talked about them, and we were so excited. Hey, it's the Lord of the Sith. Darth Vader just walked by.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. I didn't think I'd run into him when we were watching The Force Awakens.
We saw him back at Anaheim, but he's followed us here, so
yeah, well, that's
a little
if
scary.
Darth Vader is following you, Corey, I don't know if that's a good thing.
They have cookies, I'm told.
It's like getting a phone call from Liam Neeson. That's not a good
yeah,
thing.
That's not good. Yeah, when Liam Neeson's calling you, yes, you answer.
So it's been a slow reveal of everything, and it's been very, very powerful. And speaking of powerful, I've got my brother here. You've heard me talk about Sean a lot on the show. And you finally get to be a guest on Coffee with Kenobi. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here at the live show, and I'm excited. This is you and I have seen every single Star Wars movie together, and there's an old story but between you and I over Yoda, isn't there? Tell us the story.
The story goes as we were waiting for Return of the Jedi to come out, and you had read the book prior to the movie coming, and told me that Yoda dies in this movie. So I was devastated, to say the least.
Yes, and ever since then, I've lived in fear that he's going to jump out of the bushes and tell me something about what's going to happen in The Force Awakens or something else. We've had a lot of fun with that over the years.
I was kind of hoping they would release the book before the movie because I wanted to tell you what happened, but it didn't happen.
I think we're safe. We've got like an hour and 6 minutes. So, Sean, while you're here, we have five guests we ask each guest on Coffee with Kenobi. So we're going to ask you these five questions, see what you have in common with Star Wars fans. So we'll start with your first question. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Favorite Star Wars movie is definitely Empire Strikes Back.
All right, good choice.
Your favorite Star Wars character?
Favorite Star Wars character is probably Han Solo.
Ah, well, that's awesome. Yeah. You're okay, like brothers. Your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
I don't know. I think the funniest line, I definitely think, is Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
And why do you think that is funny?
I don't know. I just thought
we've had so much fun with that line for years. Yeah, it's just the way he delivers it. But that is a great scene.
Yeah.
So, Sean, if you collect, what's your favorite collectible that you own, or maybe your favorite collectible that Dan owns?
I don't really collect like Dan does. But yeah. I do remember having a large Stormtrooper when we were kids, like the bigger Stormtrooper toys. I thought that was really fun.
And you've got an awesome Stormtrooper phone case that you got from Disney World recently, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that one a lot. So last one, Sean. Is there a particular message or theme about the Star Wars saga that resonates or speaks to you?
I think I just like the way that it has almost like a religious tone to the movies. I like the fact that good prevails over evil. So I kind of like that aspect of it.
I agree. That's very well said. Thank you, Sean, for being a guest on Coffee with Kenobi.
Thanks, guys.
I agree, too, about the religious themes. I think that's something powerful. And I think that whole redemption thing, which I wrote about recently for StarWars.com, about redemption and the power of that, which we'll see soon for Return of the Jedi. Hey, it's Dan Z.
And Corey Club.
From Coffee with Kenobi. And we are excited to let you know about the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps.
Yeah, Dan, you remember those cards that came out in 1977, the good old days? Well, they're back again. Yeah, so it's the Star Wars Card Trader app. It has them all, as well as fantastic images from The Force Awakens, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and much more.
Absolutely. You've got your favorite characters, memorable scenes, you've got key moments. It's all there. You get credits every day for free from the app, which is available from iTunes or Google Play. Open packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and enjoy these amazing Star Wars memories as you take your first step into a larger world.
There are so many different sets to choose from also, and there's so many great cards to chase. There's special inserts, there's rewards for completing sets and variants. It's everything you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Let's go back to the marketing. When you have celebrities that walk by, like Dan Z's brother, Sean, you got to stop and
you
say
hi. You got to say hi, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So, merchandising for The Force Awakens. If Lou Mangiello's back on, he'd say, Spaceballs the flamethrower.
That's right.
What are some of the more interesting merchandise that you've seen?
I think the remote controlled BB-8 that we had from, it was got about as big as, I think it was a cue ball or something like that. Was cool to be able to control that with your iPhone.
Agreed. We've got another listener here who's a friend of ours. If you've ever heard me talking about the psychology wise sage that I work with. His name is Dave, and Dave's here with us. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. Tell us kind of your history with Star Wars and what Star Wars means to you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, being a really old person, as I am, I saw the very first one, 1977. I was 17 years old, at the Edens Theater in North Chicago. And it was just as big of a deal back then when it premiered as it seems to be right now. This is great.
And you're a huge film buff. Can you think of any other movies where you know where you saw it at and the year and things like that? Isn't that unique about Star Wars?
It absolutely is. Jaws is the only other one I could think of, probably. Yeah. And it probably was at the same theater because it wasn't too far, you know, in terms of when it was. Yeah, so...
So from a psychological perspective,
oh my gosh.
Why is Star Wars so captivating? Because think about it, every generation has like their own trilogy or the animated series or something like that. There's something unique about it, makes lunatics like me go and buy Star Wars paperclips and things like that.
Well, it's classic. It's Old West. It's, you know, it's you know, good against evil. It's, you know, right against wrong. And bad against good, and the people love that. And not only that, but I think it has a message too.
Right.
I mean, and then you set it in the future, and
right
there you go.
And it has lightsabers.
And it has lightsabers and cute little droids.
That's right. Well, yeah, I don't want you to miss your spot in line, but
all
I look
right.
forward to picking your brain.
Great. Thanks Sam.
Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Uh-huh.
There's another celebrity here. His name is Nathan, and he's got some interesting ways to look at Star Wars too. Nathan, how are you, sir? Good. Well, we'd love to have you be a guest on Coffee with Kenobi real quick.
All right.
So you're a family man.
Yeah.
A big Star Wars fan.
Yes.
How do you perpetuate Star Wars with your family?
Well, I try to watch it with my kids as frequently as my wife allows me. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's something cool that we should share with them and that they just enjoy naturally. So.
Right. And when you were a kid, you ate this stuff up too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I remember playing with the toys as a kid and, you know, like Boba Fett's ship and things like that, you know. I remember watching it at my aunt's house over Christmas because they didn't have kids and that was the only childlike thing they had. And that was my entree into the world of Star Wars.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's a very French kind of a word, isn't it? Perfect. Well, thanks, Nathan, for being on the show, and enjoy the movie.
Yeah, thanks.
I look forward to having our lunches and discussing this movie a little more. Very good. We're looking at the clock. We're only scheduled to be on for 15 more minutes.
I know. So
let's do some. I got an idea, but you go first.
No, you go ahead.
I'm going to name these characters. We know anything about them. We're not going to reveal anything about them because
we don't know anything. Yeah.
Just give me
a couple words of a
overall
thoughts.
Opinions of
sure.
the characters so far with any information you have in your mind, which is very little, not because you're not
very
smart,
little.
But
yeah.
because we don't know much about what's going on.
I'll just give her a couple sentences of opinion.
What's your opinion of Rey?
Of Rey. You know, I remember first seeing her in that teaser we talked about back on Black Friday. It's interesting, I think, too, of her racing off in her speeder. I think she's very... she's interesting in the fact that she's very aware of her surroundings. She knows what's going on, it seems like. She's a tough cookie, I think, too. I think she looks like she's someone who's looking for something. I don't know what that would be. But, you know, I guess it's my few thoughts.
Well, I, for me, as far as speculation free as possible, but I think she looks like she's going to be the strong female character that Star Wars fans have been waiting for a long time.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you can toss that word around, I guess, and say that, but I think that's very, very true. I agree with you in that, but I also think that it's beyond that, too. We've risen beyond that as far as characters in Star Wars go. It's not just another, you know, tough gal that's out there kicking butt. I think there's a lot more to her. There's a lot more deeper meaning, I think, to her. She's evident through that just from the teasers we've seen.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the two male leads, Poe and Finn. Personally, I think they look compelling. I think they look like we're going to have more of a Han Solo personality in this film besides Han Solo.
Yep.
And I think there's going to be some real depth to them. It's particularly Finn. The few shots we've seen of him here and there appears that he's got some things that he is debating and struggling with. And the title of the film, it looks like it could apply to a number of characters. I feel like he's going to be a central figure.
You know, and that's the other thing, too. We talk about, you know... Han, Luke, and Leia coming back to the film franchise in this sequel. And we didn't get that in the beginning. We got these new characters, Rey and Finn and Poe. And like you said, you know, the Force works through everyone in some way or shape or form. And we can't figure out who it's going to be, but it's definitely going to hit these new characters, I think, as the story evolves.
Right. And then we've got Kylo Ren and General Hux and Captain Phasma. And I'm blissfully ignorant as to what they are. We know about Kylo Ren and his affinity for Darth Vader.
He's the ultimate fanboy.
Yeah, he is the ultimate fanboy. And I am looking for that. Let's try this. What is the thing you are most looking forward to about this movie? That's a loaded question, I know.
That's a loaded question. I'm going to try and think about it and break it down. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to sitting in my seat and being able to have a new experience in Star Wars as far as a new film and new characters. And I always try to think, you know, to do my best of my knowledge to stay as aware as possible as everything is going on and take everything in and dissect it in my own mind as I'm seeing it for the first time. I think for the most part, it'd be the most just sitting there and having the experience was the best part.
Yeah, seeing this movie with members of my family and my friends and sitting there with you, who's both family and friend, and experiencing, a brand new movie together for the first time. I mean, this is just, I was telling Peyton on the way here, there was a long time where I didn't think this was ever going to happen. It was a pipe dream. I thought, well, surely it will happen. It makes money. But I don't know. And then when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, it was like a spark plug that completely changed
Force Awakens,
everything.
Yeah.
Completely changed everything. And here we are. And honestly, I don't really know which more I can say before we see the movie, because we've said it all over almost 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about this, as we're kind of putting together the show and thinking about what we're going to talk about. We talked a lot about the film itself, what we've seen so far, and here we are, and I'm still at a loss over words. I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. I'm excited to see how the franchise will continue.
I know. Corey, we're in the theater. Let's go see The Force Awakens.
Let's do it. Yeah,
all right.
Sounds good.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
We have seen The Force Awakens. I can actually say that, and it's real. And this is our raw, instant reactions. Obviously, if you have not seen the movie yet, don't listen to this part. Pause it. Go listen to something else. Go put a Christmas tree ornament up on the tree or do something.
Go see Force Awakens.
Go see The Force Awakens and then come back. Now, this is not going to be our full review show. We're going to do a full review show when we get our whole crew together, and that's going to be in a couple of weeks. But right now, this is just our raw gut reactions, and we're pretty excited because Corey and I are here, and my brother Sean is here, and we all bring our own perspectives. So, guys, Corey, just tell me your instant reactions to The Force Awakens.
It's hard to put into words almost. I'm still disseminating and processing everything that happened in this film. My overall thoughts, just instantly thinking, I thought it was great, a lot of fun. It was definitely different. The filmmaking was different, the shots a little different, everything was kind of a little more, I don't know, clear, crisper, if you will say that. I mean, acting was superb, I thought. I enjoyed all the characters. I can't think of one character I was like, oh, that was ho-hum, or that wasn't so great. Just right off the bat, I will get to some most of this, but like right off the bat, I was thinking, we get through the, meaning most of the characters kind of get going on their journey as far as this film goes. And I was like, this is Star Wars. This is it. This feels so much Star Wars to me. And I thought J.J. Abrams has captured this well, really well. I'll just say that it was the scene where Han Solo was kind of in that freighter ship and they were talking to two different gangs or whatever. I thought this is really feels like Han Solo and what he would do. This is exactly what he would do. And the other characters we've met so far, I felt they got great chemistry. I didn't think it was rushed. I felt it was just really well paced up to that point. And then it kind of like took a different turn, I guess, from down after that point for me. I mean, I did still obviously have Star Wars in it, but like it was different. It was just a different feel to it. And I still enjoyed it. I still loved everything about it. It's just there's something different. I can't say it was. I'm not saying it's different as in bad. You know what I mean?
I do.
So I guess maybe just I'm blabbling.
That's all right.
All right, Sean, what about you?
I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. A lot of the things that happened in the movie I thought were kind of similar to the other films that I've seen, you know, with you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I didn't feel drawn in emotionally by the characters as much as I did with, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6. I thought the music was good. I thought the visual was good. It was a fun movie. But I just think that maybe a lot of it is kind of the same kind of theme. I kind of wish that they would go a little differently with the way that they're doing maybe the next movie. But overall, it was a good film, and I enjoyed it. I'll probably definitely see it again.
Yeah, you and I talked about that as soon as the credits went on. And yeah, I agree. It's like it's sort of a J.J. Abrams thing, like he did with the second Star Trek, the Star Trek Into Darkness, where he takes familiar themes and kind of flips them a little bit. And there was a lot of that. I mean, some of the lines, the way, you know, Poe was rescued, and all of those things. I think it breaks archetypes of the classic hero's myth and turns it on its ear in a very triumphant way, which I really enjoyed. And I'm talking about, you know, the character placement. Rey is an instant icon. I mean, she's great. She was. I mean, it was not so quietly speculated that she would be the heroine, the hero of the story. She is. And I sort of anticipated before I saw it, and I was right, that they're going to sprinkle out which of these three or four, if you will, takes center stage. You know, when you think about the original trilogy, Han Solo is pretty big in A New Hope. He's huge in Empire, and he's sort of a token character in Jedi. Yeah. And I think they're going to do this with these characters here. What I like Kylo Ren as far as who he is and the fact that he's conflicted. But there's a lot about this movie that I liked, but not to the degree that I thought I would. And I think I am, sadly, a victim of the hype. And it's my own fault for reading and consuming everything I have and doing our show. And I am glad. I wouldn't change a thing. I liked the movie a lot. It's a Star Wars movie. And I agree with you guys. It was different. It was the same, but it was very different, much like the feel of the trailers. And I'm not sure what to think yet. I have heard other people saying that this is their favorite Star Wars movie. It is not my favorite Star Wars movie. I don't think it's as good as the original trilogy. I don't think it's as good as any of the original trilogy. And I may change my mind later, but right now that's how I feel. That's not good or bad. It's still a wonderful Star Wars movie. I kept watching it, and I don't know, so many thoughts.
I agree with you with that. And I think you mentioned it's not the same as the original trilogy, and it's different now because you know, I think we're a different time period now. Filmmaking's come a long way, and our consumption of filmmaking has come a long way. I think, and you know, we don't just see one or two films a year; we see 10 or, you know, 15 new films a year. And I'm just saying in theaters. I mean, just on Netflix and TV shows, and now the, you know, all these things that we enjoy are being introduced to us in a whole new format and a whole new way. And it's interesting because we read about it online. We see stuff online about our favorite characters and things, talking about Marvel Comics and things like that. Even still, like you said, the hype does get to you a lot. I mean, even with the merchandising. I mean, these characters' pictures are everywhere. And I don't want to say it's just too much because, you know, they have a company to run. But I think it dampens the atmosphere a little bit for the film. And I don't know how to reel that back, if you will. I mean,
I don't know. I loved it. I will say, when the movie started, I missed the 20th Century Fox fanfare. The fact that it was, no, I did miss that. How could you not miss that? It just kind of starts that opening crawl, those three paragraphs. I was like hitting my chest, and I was choked up, and I had tears running down my face, and I didn't think I would do that. I was so overwhelmed by the beauty of that opening sequence. That was great. And then I kind of felt like it was fun. It was a little slow. Did you feel like it was kind of a little slow starting? And I feel like until lightsabers came around, it was sort of up and down for me.
It kind of reminded me a lot of, like, the original, like, episode 4. Kind of like it was more story, more plot, because they're trying to build up these new characters to try to get to the idea of what actually is going to happen with these next couple movies. But there was a lot of action. It was fun. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, like, we're just diving into these new characters and learning about them, where they come from, what their background is. There's a lot to think about and a lot to still discover.
I mean, I did feel bad because a lot of the characters I really looked liked weren't in the film too much. Obviously, we don't see a lot of Luke. I'll just say it, you know. I don't know if there's a marketing thing. It's like, well, everybody's asking, where's Luke? Where's Luke? Because that's kind of the theme of the movie a little bit. But also, we didn't see Captain Phasma a whole lot, which I was like, really?
Yeah, you're
right. I was really shocked by that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought she had a great presence, and she did have a great presence on the screen, but her character was a little bit absent, I think.
She did nothing.
Yeah.
She got kidnapped.
She did,
and
yeah.
And she threatened Finn.
But she got his revenge, so, which was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just do a quick let's do a quick like favorite character, maybe favorite one, a quick favorite moment, and then final thoughts.
All right.
So, Daniel, go first.
Sure. I don't know who my favorite character is. I will say that I really wanted more Poe, and I think they're going to save him. I was the least invested in him. I love Rey and Finn. Everybody's going to love Rey and Finn. I expected more humor, but the humor that was there was fun. It wasn't Robert Downey Jr. funny, but it was funny. I think it was Rey. It's Rey or Finn. It maybe will depend on the day or the viewing, but they're both very compelling. I like the candor of Finn. He almost felt in a way like he was the everyman in this movie. He was the one, even like his talk, his dialogue, the way he would deliver lines, he sounded like just a casual guy that just stepped out of the theater and walked onto the screen sometimes, just the way he delivers stuff. And he was really compelling. He's fun. And like I said before, Rey is awesome.
Yeah, I thought the BB-8 was pretty cool too, yeah.
I love BB-8. He's great. What about you? Your favorites?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this to the movie. You know, I kept going, at first it was Poe. He was like the best pilot in the galaxy, you know. Like, he was a lot of fun to see on the screen. Like you said, he brought a presence. But I think my favorite character was Finn. And I don't know, because he was conflicted, but also he knew what he wanted, but he didn't know who he was. And I loved that about his character. It's something that's you don't see a whole lot of, honestly.
Yeah.
And,
they're more fleshed out. These three are a little more fleshed out than I think the original three are in some of the original movies.
That's true.
Had a little bit of a swag to him, kind of like Harrison Ford did in Episode 4.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I agree with that too. I think also too, it's like what pushed him to do what he did was Rey, which was interesting. I guess I hadn't expected that. He wasn't selfish, and at any point, I couldn't see that. He drove his actions with his heart, and that showed a lot for me, I guess, as his character. And I think John Boyega did a great job. We talked about acting. Just delivering his lines, living his intensity. That I think I want to talk about moments is when I'll just say a little spoiler if you're still listening. Kylo Ren has taken Rey off into a ship, and Finn runs after her and he screams her name. I felt really raw emotion there. And I thought John Boyega did an excellent job of portraying that. These young actors did such a good job.
Yeah, I agree. That whole scene where she's a very interesting. I mean, she's strong in the Force. We all agree with that. It's inescapable when you see the movie that you don't that to not notice that. But the level of her Force powers and the fact that she has these visions, much like Ezra in Rebels,
I felt she did have a lot of Ezra in her.
Yeah,
sneaking around the base there, and there was glimmers of a lot of Rebel stuff. I thought. I mean, I have to go back and think on how to disseminate, but really felt like they were drawing from that as well.
Yeah, that was cool. That whole scene where she's being tortured,
targeted, yeah,
by Kylo Ren, and I kind of love. See, I knew this would happen to me. Now I'm suddenly seeing things that I like. I think her ability to use the Force and his inability to be as powerful as he wants to be, I think that's real and that's psychological, and I think that's intriguing. He's not the all powerful like Vader, but he's interesting too. But I agree with Sean. I kind of wish he kept his mask on more.
I wish he would have kept his mask on, too. I thought he was a lot scarier before when he had his mask on. And then I didn't really understand who the whole spoke person was.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, who is that? Is that like a vision, or is that a real person sitting in there? Or I didn't understand who that was. But obviously it's like the Emperor, maybe. Or
right. I agree. And I really hope. This was the spoiler thing. Like, people said Snoke was super, super tall. And he is. He's really tall. But at the end, like, there's sort of a flicker of a hologram. Maybe he's only big because he's larger than life. I hope he's not that tall, because that's sort of absurd. Like, why does he need to be 1,000 feet tall?
I don't think he needs to be that high. I think he's projecting himself that high. He sees himself that high.
Ooh, you're
you like
smart.
That? I'm pulling a Dan Zare on you.
There you go.
But you know, obviously, he wants to lord over his minions. You know, we see them in those spatial
minions. I miss them.
Well, yeah. Yeah, right. They're looking for bananas.
Me-doo.
Yes. Well, you talk about Kylo Ren, and he surprised me too. I thought he would be just cold and cunning and whatnot, but he had something to him that we haven't seen yet. Someone who's struggling towards the light side.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really great, thinking about twists in J.J. Abrams and looking kind of taking something and twisting it. And I think it was well done. I fully felt that with him. He really did want to do good. And you see that multiple times, actually, throughout the film.
Wasn't it cool to see Kylo Ren struggling with, oh my gosh, I feel the pull of the good side. Like there's that, it's like a paternal thing. It's nature versus nurture, and it's a spiritual thing with the Force too. He's you know, he's got some stuff.
See, this just promotes such a great discussion, I think, even for our show. I'm excited to talk further into what, I mean, as we see the film more times and as we are able to kind of come off this steam of you know, having seen it and come down from our hype. But, yeah, any last thoughts?
I was going to say, do you want to do it? Sean, any last-minute thoughts or things you want to talk about?
No, I think I've said everything I wanted to say, but I appreciate you guys letting me on your show and say a few words about it. It was fun, guys.
Actually, I have a question for both of you. I already know the answer to this for me because the two older boys were with me, and that was, you know, seeing a movie with, like, the people I love and care about the most, that was amazing to me. The only thing that would have made it better would be if my wife was there. But somebody's got to watch our 2-year-old. So would you guys take your younger children to see this movie?
Actually, Corey and I were just talking about this outside the theater, and I told him, I think because of the people getting killed, and I think Kylo Ren was kind of dark, I think my daughter would be afraid. She's only 6, so I don't think I would take her.
Yeah, I agree. If Mason was older, I wouldn't take him yet. I mean, there's blood.
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple. I mean, in the fact that he's got that blood smeared, I do think it's fascinating. I know we're going to talk about this a lot, but did you notice that Finn didn't have a name? Like, he was so enveloped in. He has a mind of his own, doesn't have a name. I mean, that's not an accident. He doesn't have a name. He's his number. He literally is a number. He hasn't had a name in his entire life. And then he's named by Poe. And there's a lot of power in that, and naming is important. It's a very powerful thing. There's a lot of metaphor and symbols too, with the passing of the lightsaber, and the fact that Rey at the end passes it to Luke Skywalker or wants to give it to him. Last we saw that lightsaber, it was falling down through Cloud City into the atmosphere because Luke got his hand chopped off and he lost that lightsaber. That's
Kylo Ren wasn't strong enough with the Force to get Luke's lightsaber out of the snow, which is kind of fun.
That was awesome, and Rey got it. Rey is so, I mean, honestly, Rey's going to be more powerful than Anakin. She can do all this stuff, or maybe Kylo Ren isn't that strong.
Yeah, I think
he wants his microphone.
I just had things to say. Yeah, in those scenes and such. I mean, we even see, I think, Kylo Ren struggling in the scene with Han Solo. Something other. I don't want to go too far into spoilers. We also see this in Kylo Ren, you know, struggling to, turn to the light side in a scene with Han Solo. We see him struggling with that, and maybe that's the Force not necessarily doing his will or at the moment. We see that in the interrogation scene as well, where he can't get through to her. She pushes back, and she realizes she can push back, and he's surprised by this. So it's, yeah, I don't know. There's so many things that I have to think about. I'm really enjoying talking about it.
Do you realize you're advocating for the fact that the Force is, there's no free will in the Force? It is literally making people do what it wants to do. Do you realize that's sort of what you're saying? Which I'm not saying wrong.
No, I'm saying in the moment, I don't think the Force was making him do this or that. I think it was more of like his grasp on the Force. So his spirituality through it
wasn't as
strong. And
he's so insecure that it's brought up multiple times. And that,
yep.
I mean, even like his lightsaber can be a symbol of impotence.
Exactly. Well, it's uncontained. It's wild. And even like when I talk about the lightsaber duel, I felt like it was really two novices going at it. I mean, if you had a lightsaber, I had a lightsaber, we would both be slashing. So I don't think he's fully formed as well. I mean, he's still learning the ways of the dark side. If that's the way he's going to go, and similar to Rey, and being able to just harness that the force and use it to their means and to their will.
Isn't this like the Legends line, though? I mean, Han and Leia have kids, but they have twins in the Legends line. And then the son of Leia and Han, doesn't that son turn?
I believe so. I don't know the specifics about it. We have to ask our good friends at Legends Library about that.
How great, by the way, I won't say it, but how great what Kylo Ren's real name is.
Yeah.
When
that was cool.
Han Solo yells it. Adam?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, I'll tell you after the recording, but that was nice. I mean, a lot of that was, see, they pulled, people who were worried about Legends, the expanding universe going away, it didn't.
No, I almost want to be like it's a wink to say, you know, we're not throwing everything away. We're just, it's a gold mine, really. We're pulling things that, you know, want to, that fit into this canon and this new way we're going to tell a story.
Well, I will say, and I think my brother agrees with me, is I mean, I think the books will reveal books that come out subsequently. But I'm sort of bummed that Han and Leia had to separate. I guess that had to happen. Every time Harrison Ford plays a rogue that George Lucas created, he has to separate from the love of his life for a while. I mean, Marion Ravenwood, anyone?
Well, yeah, I agree with you there, but they kind of told us what was going on.
They address it,
and they tell the reason why. Like, they go what they're good at, and it was never. I mean, they were kind of on again, off again type thing throughout the trilogy.
Is Solo,
right? And she's, I say it was her last name Solo in that. I don't think so.
They just call her General. That one, C-3PO starts to say,
starts to say it's Princess.
Princess, yeah.
So
okay, who was Max von Sydow? Who was that?
I don't know.
I assume that was a Jedi, but they must be some sort of a relative of the Solo Skywalker family, because he says, you know, you can't turn your back on your family, or something like that, and then he decides to.
Well, that he knew the truth. He knew the truth all along, apparently. And had been holding on to that. I'd be cool to see that in one of the books leading up to the film.
Yeah.
Aftermath or something.
Which, you know, I'm sure we'll get all those very soon. All right, I knew that when I talked to you guys, this is my brain trust here. I knew that when I talked to these two, I'd feel better. And I'm always so, like, get so excited and antsy about this kind of thing because it's so important to me. And I love these characters. I love this mythology. It's the most popular mythology of our lifetimes in the fictional world. So there's a lot there. There's a lot to kind of digest. Do you have any last minute thoughts?
Well, you asked the question of if we took our kids, and obviously I've got tickets to see it again Monday coming up with my kids.
How, all of them?
All three of my boys are going to go, and the youngest is 6. So like we mentioned, there's some dark themes. There's some killing, obviously. People die and get hurt, and it's not by, you know, shooting them with a laser, you know, laser blast. There's a lot going on. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I mean, obviously, it's something that we deal with in life, and it's not necessarily, it's not the worst I've seen that they could have seen, you know, watching, Avengers or something. It's akin to that, I think. People are killed in those movies as well. The same type of thing, you know, blasted off the screen or to that nature. But, I mean,
did it bother you that Han Solo would actually let the Falcon get away from him?
No, I like that part. I thought it was kind of funny. He traded to this person, this traded to this person. Yeah. And it's just like he was getting around to it eventually. You know, he was in the process of getting it back. Yeah, it was fun. I liked that. It was just kept it light. And I don't know. There's so many things we could just. I want to go see it again. I have this itch.
Let's
to just go walk
back in.
Back
there's one at 10:30.
Is there?
Yeah. More to add to you? Yeah. Well, thanks again, Sean. Do you have an online presence where people can reach out and say hello to you?
I do not.
He's smart. He stayed in the dark, and he was able to enjoy this movie, unlike his silly older brother. Well, hey, man, this is we made it this far, and I think Coffee with Kenobi is going to keep on pushing through. Thanks again, everybody. We will talk soon. We can't wait to see what you all think. And look for a review, a text review on Coffee with Kenobi very soon.
Chewie, get us out of here!
From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.